Christ with carnal eyes, and we vacillate between rage and panic. But the Lord gently beckons back to His centrality. Our feet find the unshakable rock of His reality, even in the tremors of these days. And sometime in the heat of trial, in difficult miles, we feel driven into His presence, and yet we begin to intersect this fragrant, throneward wind, and we see He's been drawing us all along. Jesus defined eternal life this way, John 17:3. And this is eternal life, that they might know You, Father, and Jesus Christ, whom You have sent. And the word know there is the same word for the intimacy of physical exchange in the covenant of marriage. In the Spirit, there is an intercoursing of the heart with His heart, and it's a union with His life. We are partakers of the divine nature in the Zoe life, as the Greek puts it, that pure, creative, powerful, buoyant flow that we intersect and it overflows, and we draw from the depths of His dynamic, even though the times are frantic. The streams of His life go from our gaze, our gestures, our attitude and action in these days. And the world begins to wake up to the light and see Christ in you and in me. And multitudes will be drawn to Him in this visitation, which will become a habitation. Being sensitive to the drawing of the Lord. Jesus, draw me to Your sides that flowed with blood when You hung and died. Wash away my guilty stains till only Your peace remains. I'm the branch and You're the vine. Let Your life flow one with mine. Fill this branch with fruit divine. A harvest of Your love. Holy, holy is the Lamb that was slain. Worthy, worthy, soon to come again. The archangel with trumpet raised waits for the word Your Father will say. Your bride with her arms outstretched in praise says, come quickly, oh my love. Come quickly, oh my love. Come quickly, oh my love. As we draw near to the Lord, our spirit, our central essence of newness and perfect righteousness is underscored. As we recognize and realize that in the centrality of our new creaturehood, We have been resurrected into righteousness, holiness of the truth, and we stand in the position of perfect righteousness and in the newness of personhood. And as we inhale the breath of the Scriptures and feed on the substance of the Word, and our spirit is flexed in worship. In Greek, that's proskuneo, which blends reverential holiness with kissing close affection. And in our heart, that's the depths of our being. That's how we perceive with the eyes of our heart, ponder with the meditation of our heart, and are persuaded by faith to be impassioned, to know Him in ever-increasing measure, and to be anointed to make Him known in heightened effectiveness, this marvelous treasure with Him. We're in the family business of extending the kingdom. He personified it. The day of Pentecost, the kingdom became invasive. Now, in these days, through a people that are being conformed to His image and attitude and action, daily being renewed, cultivating His centrality to moment by moment, become an expression of heaven on earth, and the glory of the Lord would not only be invasive, but would become increasingly pervasive. What a time to be alive. Now as we proceed along in word and song, there'll be an occasional personal word to be heard of edification. That's to build up. Exhortation, that's to stir up. Consolation, that's to soothe. And even some that have been broken in their personal history, the ravages of divorce. He doesn't tattoo a D on your head and ravage you to the rubbish pile. But there's always grace, and He lifts us up. And in His hands, He cups our face and says, I'm the glory and the lifter of your head. It's by me your spirit led. Your best can be yet to come. Scattered roses in the rain. Long lost joys from seasons past. You've gathered them again for a bouquet that will last. The fragrance of your love breathes new life into my soul. Made a living sweet bouquet from roses left out in the cold. The wreckage I surveyed was my life after the storm. Scattered rubble in the night, twisted, battered, without form. Those I once called friends left my silent soul for dead. There was nothing they could do, only words of sorrow said. Scattered roses in the rain, long lost joys from seasons past. Lord, you've gathered them again for a bouquet that will last. The fragrance of your love breathes new life into my soul. Made a living sweet bouquet from roses left out in the cold. daily renewal, a fresh infilling of the fuel that is the very life of Christ. And living streams begin to flow through the various faculties of our being. In our spirit, we're royalty, but in our soul, we're earthenware that is being restored on a daily basis, transformed, that the world might be seeing the formation of the revelation of Christ in you, and He is magnetic. It's written, let us labor to enter into His rest. There's a certain discipline and riveted focus and a ruthless laying aside of competing preoccupations. It comes apart and says, Lord, I focus the eyes of my heart on You. Strip away any veil of legalism or rebellion. And the next thing you know, we begin to intersect the flow of His life. And then we begin to cruise in the momentum and the buoyancy and the force and flow thereof, having labored, having been diligent to enter into His rest, the unforced rhythms of His grace, the operational force of His favor doing in us for us what we could never do in and of ourselves. When I was a much younger man and we were living in California, there was a favorite spot where Donna and I liked to body surf, and it was just south of Santa Barbara and north of Ventura, right in the area of Carpinteria. And the waves were good, and the velvety sand was smooth, and it didn't have rocks, so you had a nice landing where you didn't get abrasions on your chest. But we could remember wading out into the surf about a little higher than our navel. And you would begin to watch the formation of a wave, and you'd say, that's not the one. Let it go. That's not the one. But then you would begin to see ever so often with a fair frequency this formation of a watery mass of salty liquid. And it would begin to gather up in volume, and it would begin to move at first slowly towards you and then gather in momentum. And you looked and you saw and you kind of put your back to it, getting ready to move with it. And at just the right moment, you sensed its momentum and you would labor and swim furiously with everything in you. But then you would begin to move in the cadence and the flow and the velocity of the wave. You were in harmony with it and you could just assume a torpedo position and cruise with refreshing force. And land on the velvety sand. I was musing about that yesterday. And while we were in the service this morning at Word of His Grace there in near Bothell, it's actually Mount Lake Terrace, yeah. I saw a similar scene, but this time it was in the aerial view and I wasn't down in the water. And it began to be the revelation of the formation, and I've had a number of visions, as you no doubt have had too, of this coming visitation of a third great awakening. And I saw this watery mass like I had never seen before beginning to form. And I had this, it was like I had the aerial view at the right hand of God where we are esteemed to sit as sons and daughters. That's much better than the high rent district or Beverly Hills or anything else. And we get that revelation, and by grace there is this elevation to rest seated and have prophetic perspective. There I was with Jesus, and He was nudging me and smiling. He's saying, oh, what you're about to see, you and your brothers and sisters. And it began to move, and it came crashing with just foamy iridescence as it was catching the light of the sun. And yet, as it hit the shore, it didn't recede. It continued as a river and began to move into massive multiple rivers. and begin to flow in reformation in every segment of secular society. It invaded the realm of education with creative ways, with a purging from corruption and deception, and new ways and means of seeing our children educated with a Christian worldview in view. Begin to invade the realm of politics. There began to be an epidemic repentance and some that just got flat out removed. It invaded the media and began to inject honesty. It invaded professional sports. It invaded the entertainment realm. Celebrities began to come to a knowledge of the Lord and were humbled, got off their soapboxes, and began to celebrate the real King. His voice in gentle firmness stirs the hearts within His people. Jesus says, make me your all and nothing less. The church that I am building is a church without a steeple. It's a people that with fullness I can bless. Present yourselves in cleansing, shedding all pretentious tinsel. I'll clothe you with a glory that is mine. My membership is not a thing that's signed with pen or pencil, but a heart that says I'm yours and you are mine. True liberation find to move in harmony with His holiness is the epitome of liberty. Partakers of the divine nature and defying the gravity of worldly corruption, we get that revelation and it becomes our elevation. The earth is the Lord's and all it contains, and those who dwell in it. Shatter the chains of Satan's claims. Receive the truth now and send it. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? Those cleansed by His salvation. Seek the face of the King of glory, transforming this generation. He's raising up a people who will call upon His name now. And the keys of the kingdom we thought lost are still graciously extended in His mighty nail-pierced hand. See the glory. Count the blessing. Count the costs. He's turning our attention to His kingdom's great dimension, turning us from fighting among ourselves. And we're pouring from the prison with its walls of coal division as we trample underfoot the hordes of hell. The praising chorus swells. The earth is the Lord's and all it contains, and those who dwell in it. Shatter the chains of Satan's claims. Receive the truth now and send it. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? Those cleansed by His salvation. Seek the face of the King of glory, transforming this generation. So I said, Lord, as I'm sensing even the first nuances of this visitation unto habitation, help me to be sensitive in cooperation to be an agent that under Your anointing gets a piece of the action. So as we begin to see Him with the eye of vision as the silver sliver of dawn that's going to become golden morning that we begin to run toward, we recognize with this shift, with this transition, There's got to be transformation to recognize it. So ever so often, I'm renewed to realize and have my inner eyes know that His supreme operation in each of us is to conform us to Jesus Christ in attitude and action. But it's an inner operation that He's doing, and we just give our submissive, yielded cooperation, as it's God who works in us both to will and to do His good pleasure. So I inquired of the Lord, "What gives you pleasure?" He said, "Dick, it's the same thing that gives your new creaturehood pleasure, made in my image. How lovely are thy dwelling places. My soul longs for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry for joy to the living God. You are my King and my God." Oh, He delights in worship. He dances and cavorts in the climate of our worship with delight. And I've seen flashing will-o'-the-wisp at times of angelic light. "How lovely you are in your dwelling place." Psalm 84. "My soul longs for the courts of your praise. My heart and my flesh long to stand face to face with you, my King, in your dwelling place. How lovely your dwelling place. The sparrow dwells high over tumult and test, raising her young in her towering nest. As I come to your altar of praise and I bow, you inhabit my praise and I'm raised here and now. How lovely your dwelling place. In my heart is paved the pathway to Zion. My forerunner Jesus, by His grace divine, has given me access to praise Judah's lion. He's prepared and made His dwelling place mine. How lovely your dwelling place." And as we perceive His face, we perceive pure love personified. Pure love. And it releases us to reciprocate with the love that's due Him. It also calls faith forward, which works by love. And Jesus is jazzed with faith. He's ecstatic with faith. Ah, the demonstration of a Roman centurion, a Syro-Phoenician woman. And isn't it interesting that they were both Gentiles and hadn't been inoculated with religiosity of those days? What delights and gives Him pleasure, He considers a treasure, a heart of worship. Oh, there may be confrontations with preoccupations of little many idolatries. And we repent in accord with conviction heaven sent, but yet it's followed with such love, renewed to worship Him alone above. And we see the heights and depths of His love, the mountaintop experiences and prophetic perspectives, but the depths that invade the dark night of the soul, where inwardly we're bruised. And He takes the two-edged laser scalpel of surgery, accompanied with the anesthetic of grace and mercy, and takes out those toxic tumors in the process of making us whole. We see the width of His love, the expansive embrace of generations and multinationalities in the arms of His grace. And we see His reach, the length, reaching into unlikely places. And so we learn a cooperation that sometimes requires repentance with His inner operation, producing those things that He treasures and gives Him pleasure of worship, love, faith, and the hilarity of generosity that loves to sow and reap. We don't give to get. We give and we receive in multiplied measure that we might give more. And we live in the camaraderie of generosity of giving with the living God. And learn to use position and possession to bless people. In the previous generation, we had prosperity confused with opulence. It was after stuff. Ah, but the true wealth is in His pleasure, of His company. And yeah, it's okay to ask for things. He wants us to have nice things, and He provides them for us. But we just kind of come upon them in serendipity fashion, where it seems like divine coincidence, which wasn't coincidence at all. But the blessing that overtakes us of our every need. Working us, within us, what brings Him pleasure, worship, love, faith, in hilarious generosity. God delights in those things. A couple of years ago, we had some budget-biting financial situations that were just like assaults coming from every direction. And so we sought the Lord, His counsel. And He'll tell us to do the unusual things, just like with Jehoshaphat, sending forward His singers and pickers instead of His top draft choices and Navy SEALs forward to meet the enemy. How about that? And the Lord said, accelerate your sowing and giving. And we did. And we've been givers all along. And we begin to see funds come from every direction, from sources that we never would have believed. And it covered the cost of those things that included leaks in our plumbing that the homeowners insurance company looked for exits out of as quick as they happened. Some of you have been there, done that. The breakdown of the fence between us and our neighbors, which was going to require something considerable and some other things coming to bear. And besides that, both of our cars were overworked and they were hitting that place where they needed to be retired from road ministry. I still drive my CRV with 240,000 miles on it, runs like a top, and it's paid for, but I wouldn't take it on a long trip. And we were graced with the funds for a sizable down payment on that Kia Sorento out there. It was the reaping resultant from sowing and the joy of giving and the holy hilarity of saying, this doesn't own me, I don't own it, I am a steward of it. And amid this test, I invest it in your kingdom, I sow into the Spirit, knowing there'll be a return in a multiplicity of ways, which just equips me for more generosity to release more of God-given resource in these days. Hallelujah. That's what He's working in us. And as we entertain the operation of transformation, we begin to see transition. He's moving his people forward into new dimensions of the divine design of the plan he has for our life, whether we're 8 or 80. I'll be turning 81 in September. Married to this beautiful lady that still lights my fire. Hey, Solomon said it, thou shalt delight in the wife of your youth. And she's, I won't tell you how old she is, but she's 3 years younger than I am. And I'm comfortable in front of crowds, but I have a hard time if I try to visit with more than two people at a time. I love that. You know, I love visiting. But she can be in a room full and know how to draw people into conversation and listen with just intent interest and yet with an intuitiveness of knowing when to speak into it, and has a tremendous ministry of one-on-one counsel. So I say, if you don't have looks and social skills, you marry it. Hallelujah. We'll pause with some personal words here. My brother, what is your name?
My name's Omer.
Omer. I remember you before because of the unusual name, Omer. A lover of justice that wants to see the Lord descend with his terrible swift sword and sever chains of the hackles of hell that have been attached to people's heels. Prophetic evangelism will be on the increase. You'll have an intuitiveness that recognizes the hurt and the heartache within this person and that. And you'll begin to, with gentle, soft authority, see Jesus meet them where they're at. And they'll receive and they'll believe. What's your name? What again? Carrington? Carrington with a C. Okay. En route to an encounter with the King. Carrington. It may come as a dream. In fact, I believe it will. And then you'll wake up with it. And it'll proceed to be prophetic as a vision. A call upon your life. You'll be a prophetic voice to your generation. Generation Y, strategic as part and parcel of this multi-generational thing that the Lord is doing. Ah, there's a song in your heart and soul. There's creativity that soars with the ego. What a call you have on your life. And he'll call you to a place that's increasingly near. Won't turn you into something weird. Just highly unusual. What's your name? Claudia. Now Claudia overflows with contagious joy. You draw from the inner well, the artesian well, and the next thing you know, the overflow rises like a fountain, and folks enjoy joy of that day as they sense the refreshing spray of the descending waters that flow from the fountain of Claudia, the handmaiden of joy. And where it was once lost and storm-tossed, the Lord invaded the night and opened your eyes to the sight of the source of your joy. So important, coming apart, getting that fresh transfusion of the heart, the centrality of His reality, and that operation that's working to will and to do His good pleasure. And we give our yielded cooperation as He produces a heart of worship. Love, faith, and joyful generosity. And in this transformation, we begin to recognize Him moving all around us and see windows of opportunity. Our inner knowing becomes an overflowing to hurting hearts, aching souls in the process of making them whole. And we partner with Him in the family business of deliverance. It's seen in Luke 4 and 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me and you to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted and preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord of Jubilee, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Sometimes it amazes me how strong the power of your love can be. Sometimes you just take my breath away. You watch my love grow as a child, sometimes gentle, sometimes wild. Sometimes you just take my breath away. And it's too good to slip by, too good to lose, too good to be there just to use. Gonna stand up on a mountaintop and tell the news that you take my breath away. Sometimes it amazes me how strong the power of your love can be. Sometimes you just take my breath away. It inspires me to obey, to believe, to give. Your beauty's there in all I see. When I feel your eyes on me, don't you know, takes my breath away. Too good to slip by, too good to lose, too good to be there just to use. Gonna stand up on a mountaintop and tell the news that you take my breath away. Too good to slip by, too good to lose, too good to be there just to use. Gonna stand up on a mountaintop and tell the news, Lord, you take my breath away. Fragrance of your love breathes new life into my soul, made a living sweet bouquet from roses left out in the cold. What's your name right here? Debbie. Persevering in prayer for loved ones, some of whom are just not quite there, and a few of them that seem like they're nowhere. But anyhow, you persevere, and there's an anointing divine of intercession that is causing you to intertwine with the Supreme Intercessor with a capital I. Jesus at His right hand. And a faith begins to grow. Not that it wasn't there before, but an inner knowing that the realization of what you have in visualization is going to become visible. And their frail craft in the storm, hurricanes of hell tossed fore and aft, are going to see the master of the waves mighty to save walking on the water. And He'll move mightily on those sons and daughters and grandchildren. A lot of times a word just gets broken like loaves and fishes and divided all over the room. Just hitch a ride on it, okay? Make it yours too. Let that be known. Don't say Debbie got chicken and I got bones. Couple here, what are your names? Rick and Annie. And of course, I've seen you here multiple times. I don't remember anything I spoke over you because there's been a few thousand words between then and now. Coming into an expansive revelation of promise to where you'll be able to say with the psalmist, Thou hast set my feet in a large place. And the Lord loves your tenderness toward Him and toward broken people. And He loves your tenacity that in the midst of adversity continues to move forward to possess the land. And He'll cause your feet in that large place to stand as what you have envisioned has incrementally becoming visible and will in even greater measure in the visitation of this day. What's your name? Andy? Nancy, excuse me. I would have thought maybe it's short for Andrea. Nancy, seeing the inner healing of the Lord being set at liberty where you were once bruised through the abuse of the anger of another. As He enclosed you and encompassed you with arms of His grace, and it became your fortress in that place, and He delivered you from that situation, causing you to see the dawning of a brand new day. And Annie, a bright new tomorrow is on its way. Oh, you've got such a ministry of mercy. And you'll speak to others in a similar valley and cause them to rally. And you'll say, been there, did that, but He was there, and now I'm here. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And that jumped around and multiplied. I begin to turn a corner with yet another vision. Vision is when the Lord graces your inner eyes to see between the lines of the natural and beyond its parameters. You see spiritual realities. And sometime it can happen when we're poised and waiting in personal devotion, but sometime it is drop-in business. I mean, it just comes out of nowhere. I had one happen. It was about a month ago, as I recall, and I was coming out of Walmart there in Boise, Idaho. That's where we live, in case you're wondering where we come from. And it's grown from an overgrown hick town to people from California and all over the place moving there and sending real estate sky high. But the Lord's moving them there for a purpose. We've seen a church of several hundred, approaching 1,000, that's mostly millennials, that has sprung up just in the last short time, started from scratch, and we visited there on Easter Sunday, and the depth and the dynamic of that worship from those young people was amazing. The Lord's doing something marvelous with millennials. Gen Xers are realizing identity, and boomers are returning to their first love and where there had been misplaced trust in being message-centered instead of Christ-centered and resulting in disappointment and discouragement. Hope deferred makes the heart grow sick. They're seeing the centrality of Jesus as the hub. And word of faith is a spoke. The decibels and dynamics of worship, instead of doing it with a meter, we just enjoy and love the presence of the Lord. That's a spoke. Discipleship is a spoke. Back in the day when the wave began to receive in the charismatic renewal, and people were doing on dry land what they'd been doing in the flow, it looked ridiculous. Because it was. And some got together and tried to come up with a solution of multi-level shepherding, and the remedy was worse than the malady. And discipleship became a legalism instead of being trained to reign and operate in harmony with the Lord and increasingly become a Jesus look-alike. And covering is needed, but not smothering. It provides a canopy of safety and health in which we come closer and closer to Him, and we move along the pathway of knowing Him in ever-increasing depth and making Him known in heightened effectiveness. That's discipleship. It's taking up the cross that resolves to trust the Spirit at the expense of the flesh and sees the flesh crossed out. It's being conformed to the selfless bliss, the death of Jesus, the selflessness of Jesus, in realizing the resurrection that comes in participating in His life flow and living above it. That's the crosswalk. Hallelujah. And we'll blow it at times. And to be quick to repent with constructive conviction that's heaven sent. And the next thing you know, we resolve to say, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. Yes. Life starts getting glorious and fun, even amidst persecution. And we say, forgive them, they know not what they do. We refuse to harbor offenses, but we send it away without a bungee cord attached to it. And in the difficulty of overwhelming times, we say, into thy hands I commit my spirit. That's the crosswalk, those choices at the junctures of spirit and flesh. The flesh can't be disciplined. And God deliver us from this tendency of thinking we've got two natures, and our religious flesh is trying to rehabilitate our rebellious flesh and just kicks it up, and then we try to cover it with the fig leaves of more religious flesh. Now, the flesh is a condition, to be sure, but it no longer defines us. It doesn't have to defy us as we yield to the Spirit, which is our true new nature that crosses out the flesh. Walk after the Spirit, that is, rely upon and respond obediently to His promptings and perspectives, and will not satisfy the lust of the flesh. I don't have my PhD in a thing I just said, but I'm a lot further along than I was this time last year. Continue growing in the knowing of Him as our example of what He walked out in the Gospels. And yes, He was God, a very God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. But He also was the perfect example of a human being reduced to rely on the Spirit of God and to obey Him and walk in perfection. It becomes the perfect Lamb of sacrifice for you and I. And through His blood, we are declared forgiven and righteous as we believe. And covenant life is activated, and we begin to partake of the very inheritance of heavenly life in common with the King. The result of yieldedness. And yes, the tenacity of diligence to enter into His rest. And yes, the giving ourselves over to the Overcomer who produces those things in us, both the will and to do His good pleasure. The next thing you know, we find that in the earthenware of our souls being restored, we have the treasure of His glory. The vision I had was I saw a theater. It wasn't a movie theater. It was a theater of live dramatic productions. And as I entered, it was crowded. And there was vitriolic violence and shouts of accusation going on in some quadrants, and in some actually the exchange of gunfire. In other areas, you could see people slumping down in their seat, cowering to somehow be covered from a wayward fist or a bullet. But in others, they were sitting, and there was a travail of expectancy of intercession. And the Lord was gathering those intercessions that wafted heavenward into a marvelous bowl of blessing that He was beginning to pour out and was soon going to do this. The curtain had not yet risen, but you could sense activity going on as props were being set into place, and there was a wind that began to blow the curtain across the edge of the stage. And then it rose, and there were the performers, a prophetic vanguard. And there was marvelous choreography and dance of tremendous leaping grace. Angelic hosts began to mingle with the cast, and you could sense the radiance on each face. And they presented the drama in word and song. Some begin to repent of their violence. And the intercessors begin to sing along without even having known the songs before. And there was still violence going on in certain places. But those that had cowered in fear began to sense angelic beings coming and just embracing them from behind and putting their cheek against their cheek and saying, "It's okay. You're under divine protection." They begin to join with the prayer warriors and praise proclaimers. And there was a finale, and the cast came forward and joined their hands and lifted them, and then they began to flow into the crowd, and there was the exchange of embrace and angelic forces dancing. But all during the presentation, there had been these bolts of lightning. Here one, there one, and there one all over the room. And there were some that had stood with their hands raised, and as the lightning hit them, they were energized and empowered with high voltage anointing for signs and wonders. There were others that stood up and beat their chest. I would be like the Most High, and were struck down by the lightning from their perch of self-aggrandizement. But there began to be redemptive judgment and repentance, and some chose to back off into the darkness with gnashing of teeth and continue to oppose. But then the crowd and the cast began to spill out into the streets, an angelic host were there. And there were derelicts and addicts, ladies of the evening, all manner of peripheral societal dropouts that begin to run toward the light and experience the embrace of the grace of salvation and healing and deliverance. And then all over the city, where there were athletic contests going on, whole quadrants of the crowd began to break out in praise and worship, and it was being televised, and they couldn't tune it out. Like they turned the cameras away from the NFL players in different uniforms praying in the middle of the field. You don't usually get to see that. They couldn't tune this out because it was about to drown out the announcers. Churches begin to let out and go to lunch, and every place from Denny's to St. Arbuck's to where have you, joining tables together, someone would strike up a chorus, and the next thing you know, you had a choir there, and the tabernacle of David was being exported into those public situations, and others would strategize with flash dramas that would be put on and break loose in malls. And you'd see ministry going on in the streets of teams that were hitting the streets with Holy Ghost heat. And the rain of the Spirit had softened the soil of hearts for the impregnation of the seed of the gospel like never before, as they'd gone from curiosity to craving. And an epidemic salvation of souls began to break out all over. And yes, the darkness was there, still in opposition, and coexisted with the light. But arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen, the resurrected one, and adorns you authoritatively on your shoulder. The glory is upon thee, for lo, great darkness will cover the earth, but the nations will come to your light. It's Isaiah 60, verses 1 and 2. Hallelujah. Bring back the glory. Won't you show us what life is for? Bring back the glory. Make us open once more. Bring back the wonder, the trust. Glory that's just like a child that has never known pain. Bring back the glory. And he's doing it. The glory again. Bring back the glory. Won't you show us what life is for? You are the glory. We delight in you once more. Bring back the music, the trust, the wonder that's just like a child that has never known pain, restoration. Bring back the glory. And you're doing it. The glory again, the glory is the expressed excellence of God. And in the words of the prophet Isaiah, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. And as we're seeing the formation of this revelation of visitation and a habitation, we are yielding to the inner working to be a part of His anointed agency as He works within us both to will and to do His good pleasure. As we yield with cooperation to the operation producing a heart of worship, love, faith, joyful generosity, restoration of our soul, becoming increasingly whole, and He delights in seeing it happen. Magnify the Lord who delights in the prosperity of His servant. Psalm 35:27. And under His mantle, we draw from the fountain of Him within and become overflowing channels. And I'll close with this thought. I want to be a channel for the river of God. Want to be a channel for the river of God. So dig me deep, Lord, and dig me wide. I want to be a channel for the river of God. That's an old camp meeting song. Learn it with me. I want to be a channel for the river of God. Repeat it. I want to be a channel for the river of God. So dig me deep, Lord, and dig me wide. I want to be a channel for the river of God. I think you got it. Let's sing it again. I want to be a channel for the river of God. Want to be a channel. I want to be a channel for the river of God. So dig me deep, Lord. So dig me deep, Lord, and dig me wide. I want to be a channel for the river of God. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. God bless that to your heart and soul this evening.